Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy New Year, everyone. Happy 2019. I hope the year is starting off wonderfully for everybody tuning in out there. And before we get started with our first show of the new year, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search, who make today's show possible. Please do keep Markham Search in mind for all of your recruiting needs throughout the United States. They have offices in New York, Boston, and Los Angeles. So a special thank you to our sponsors, and thank you to Dr. Nancy, who is joining us today. Dr. Nancy is an international philanthropist, skilled horsewoman, and trailblazer for women's empowerment. Dr. Nancy believes women who support each other in abundance and joy are the key to equality. A successful author and educator, she recently completed a new book, In This Together, How Successful Women Support Each Other in Business and Life. Dr. Nancy founded Women Connect for Good, Inc., a social nonprofit foundation that has provided support for many national and international charities. Her podcasts feature interviews with smart, amazing women, and her timely articles appear on popular national blogs. She previously authored Leading Women, 20 Influential Women Share Their Secrets to Leadership, Business, and Life, and two other books. Dr. Nancy occasionally speaks to selected groups on women empowerment, self-confidence, and the importance of women supporting other women. Having earned numerous awards, Dr. Nancy was honored with other women, including Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, at the 2018 Canales Project in Washington, D.C. She also serves on various boards of directors and chairs the board for the Take the Lead, Inc., whose mission is to prepare, develop, and inspire and propel women to leadership parity across all sectors by 2025. She's also a major supporter of the innovative program 50 Women Can Change the World, currently operating in media and entertainment, healthcare, and finance, and the international work of Convoy of Hope. A licensed psychologist, she has long served on the governor-appointed Missouri Committee of Psychologists and previously acted as the director of a large employee assistance program and as a nationally certified crisis team leader in New York City after the 9/11 attacks. She invites all people of goodwill to join her in reaching out to support women in the pursuit of equality, safety, and success. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Nancy.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Yeah, so tell me, that's such a varied background that you have. You're a licensed psychologist, a philanthropist, and you're somebody who is very passionate, as we were just talking offline, about your equestrian works and your horse work, your work with the horses. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about your career path and how you came to be here today.
How did I come here to be here? Well, you know, to put it simply, I really started out pretty much as a tomboy and really enjoyed sports with boys, and boys came over to play sports with me, not to date me, but God, she's got a great sense of humor. And so marriage, babies, one daughter after another daughter after another daughter. And I started to get the message that what was going to be most important is that I learned to really treasure the fact that I was a woman, and that, in fact, that I was going to leave a legacy for many women, especially my own daughters.
That's amazing. And so at what point did you decide to pursue psychology as a career?
Well, you know, I've always been extremely interested in the behavior of human beings. I've always been very curious about humans, and of course, then you know, my selection of the population became even clearer to me as I said, you know, because again, women, you know, as far as how women treat each other, how women view themselves, it just became extremely important to me that, again, having my own daughters and having that relationship with them was first, you know, I had to empower myself before I could empower anyone else.
Yeah, I think that's such an important thing to consider, is so many people set off on a path of trying to help other people, but they don't realize that until you first got a good, strong, solid foundation for yourself, it becomes very hard to help other people.
Yeah, I would say that's absolutely true. People in the helping profession, maybe unbeknownst to themselves, are really helping themselves. So in the long run, I guess I'm the one who really ended up with the grand prize because, again, by my realizing the importance and the special talents and abilities that women have and the ones that I had that I could share and also help other women to learn to do the same.
So tell me a little bit about your latest book. I know you've written 4 books, which in and of itself is an incredible accomplishment. Your most recent one that was just released this month, In This Together, How Successful Women Support Each Other in Business and Life. Tell me a little bit about the dynamic of this book and what inspired it.
Okay. Well, this is actually a follow-up to Leading Women, which was a stories of 20 successful women who have done something very, very important, which is basically the mission of Women Connect for Good Foundation, is that they have supported the efforts, the talents, to support the efforts and talents of other women. So these 20 women, these stories became extremely important. But again, their greatest gift was that they understood their importance for themselves was to support other women. So actually, Simon Schuster came back to us after Leading Women was successful and said, we need to follow up with this. And of course, the timing was excellent with Time's Up and Me Too. So again, we just, the things that I've been working on for the past 30-something years came to culmination. But again, many of the things that we talk about in this book are taken from Leading Women, which is basically women supporting one another and the importance of women having a voice, using the power that they have to use their voice to change the world. And leadership is the key. Until we have seats at the table, until we have that voice, we're not going to change much of anything. Right now, we're still probably 12th in the nation as far as leadership, and that's not good for the United States. The ultimate glass ceiling that we have to break is still that seat at the big table of the presidency of the United States. So we've got some runners out there right now, and I'm not going to mention who they are because I think you're going to start to see some of these names appear in the news as far as women that are going to be seeking nomination for that big leadership role that we really do need to fill.
Yeah, so tell me, what can we do as women to support one another to reach these higher roles, whether it's president of the United States or president of an organization? What does it take for women to get there?
Well, you know, I think it takes every single day of our lives that we, in fact, support other women. And there's so many ways we can do that in our jobs, in our communities. But, I mean, having someone to sponsor, someone to mentor, I don't know about you, but I can see the faces of the women that have supported me in my lifetime to be where I am sitting at this desk right now. But I also see the faces of women who did not. So, again, it's amazing if just one person believes in us, maybe one other woman believes in us. It's amazing what we can accomplish. I don't know about you. You probably see the faces of the people that helped you throughout your career and even today while you're doing what you're doing today because they said to you, you know, you can do this. You can do this. You have those skills. You can do this job.
Yeah, I think mentorship is such a critical backbone and element to any man or woman's success. I think those people out there who maybe are trying to hit that next level in their career and they feel like they're plateauing, the best piece of advice I would give them is to find a mentor, male or woman. And I think that it's equally helpful to have both. I can look at one of my very first mentors. I was just texting with her earlier today. She was the very first person, the vice president, who first hired me in my recruiter job when I was 21 or 22 years old. And I still stay in touch with her to this day because she made such a strong impact in my life.
Absolutely. You made a very, very good point, too, and is that it really creating allies, both male and female allies, is key to the success. None of us are going to get anywhere on our own. None of us get anywhere on our own. So, again, both males and females that along the way that are there to lift us up and support us, and in hand, then we turn around and we do the same for others. That's how it works.
Yeah, I think paying it forward is so important because you get to a certain level where you have just a little bit more knowledge than the next guy or gal. And I think it's our, I don't want to use the word duty or obligation because that seems so formal. And I think I would rather say our privilege. It's really a privilege when you get to a point in your career where you have enough knowledge that you can share it with other people. It's a gift that is meant to be shared.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one of the talents that women do have that I think sometimes we overlook as a fact. It's one of the good things we're so good at is communication, collaboration, and developing relationships. And I don't know about you, but I think the most important thing in companies right now, and we're getting to that point because more and more companies are understanding that having people who are authentic but also people that can develop relationships within the workplace naturally can develop good, positive relationships outside for customers as well.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like authenticity has become a currency more so than anything else. I feel like maybe 10 or 20 years ago, it used to be power or domination or the ability to control or manipulate one's circumstances. But I feel like we're at the precipice of a major shift and change, yeah. Not just locally, yeah. But globally, and that the currency has become authenticity, trustworthiness, and respectability that I'm really yeah. seeing in the workplace right now.
I think I agree. I definitely agree with that. I think the pendulum is swinging backwards. It's so nice to go into a place that you do business and they know your first name. They know what you need. They know what you want. And, you know, you trust those people. And I think that's what we want. We want relationships with the people we do business with, that we trust them. They know who we are and they know what we need, and vice versa. Then you can make that referral. And I think we see more and more companies doing that, referrals outside and inside. You know, you're making referrals to other companies and vice versa. You know, there's a large piece of pie of business out there, and there's many, many slices, and there's so much that we can share with one another.
Yeah, and I think that you just hit on a very important point, Dr. Nancy, and that's the point of coming from a place of abundance rather than scarcity or lack. Because in business, and I've seen this both with men and with women, sometimes people will come from a place of there's not enough X to yeah. go around, whatever business yeah. you might yeah. be in. And the moment you do that, you've just created an accidental adversarial relationship between yourself and whoever that other person is, because instead of being unified, it's us versus them because there's a lack of whatever resource or whatever somebody is going after.
Absolutely. I use those terms constantly. Coming from a place of abundance is where I ask people to think about where they come from. You know, we don't want to burn bridges. We should be constantly building bridges, new pathways, new journeys, new opportunities that we can come together and share. Like I said, there may be someone that we can't do business with at that point, or maybe we don't have the resources, but we know somebody else who does. At some point, then later on, they're going to turn around and say, hey, you did a wonderful thing for me. Guess what? I'm going to do the same for you. And that's how it works. That's exactly how it works. And that abundance just grows and grows and grows.
So let's talk for a minute, though, about this mindset that people have, because I can imagine some people out there who are tuning in today, be it male or female, might be thinking to themselves, okay, well, Dr. Nancy and Jennifer Hill sound like they're coming from this woo-woo happy place where in reality, how am I going to find a mentor? There are no real legitimate people out there yeah, who are willing yeah. or able to mentor me. Yeah, so how yeah, would you suggest yeah. that somebody goes out there and aligns themselves with the correct mentors?
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about somebody in your workplace right now that you've met, you've talked to, you've seen, you would like to emulate. There's very, very few people that are going to deny you. I mean, again, someone who said, tell me your story. Tell me about you. How did you get to be who you are? How did you get to be doing the job that you're doing? And you know, and you ask. And then, of course, you may start with another sponsor, another ally, and some other capacity that can introduce you. But there's always a path to that person or to that area that can help you to get to the next step. And again, that goes back to the most important thing that women have to have is confidence. You know, when we have confidence, anything is possible. And so we've got to get past those fears and just, you know, there's very, very few people who say, look, I really like the way you do business. I really would like to emulate you. I'd like to be just like you and do some things that you're doing. How do I do that? I don't know of too many people who are going to say no to you.
That's a good point. What is that quote? Is that, imitating is the best compliment or something like that.
I know. Absolutely. Imitation.
So let's talk about leadership. We're talking about the presidency of the United States, which is shortly coming upon us. And yep. we have this idea of leadership, whether it's the president of the United States, the president of an organization, or running your own small company, or just being a leader within whatever organization you might currently work at. Mm-hmm. What are the attributes of a leader?
Yeah. Well, there's a saying, and I really like it. Be the leader that you would want to be led by. think about how you would like to be led. You know, and again, we've been talking about some very key points, which is coming from a place of abundance, coming from a place of being authentic, but also coming from a place of having confidence. But again, developing those relationships and collaboration, you know, again, these are keys to leadership. Nobody in a company gets anywhere by themselves. And we know that. And we know that there's always, I think it was George Bush Jr. I think that was him. He's probably one of the presidents that has been considered probably not as intelligent as some of our other presidents. But he had one talent that was extremely important. He knew to go and find people that could help him. And he knew he had a talent to find the people that would help him to achieve his goals. But of course, that's what we have to do. We have to find the right fit, the people that will help us to accomplish our job. And again, that's how you go about it too, is that you have these skills, you have these skills. And again, that confidence and the power to, not the power over, but the power to do the job.
So I think one thing I'm hearing you say that might be valuable, Dr. Nancy, for some of the people who are tuning in today, would be perhaps to go out and look back at the history of their career, whether they're starting in their career, maybe it could be somebody they interned with, or if you've been in your career 5, 10, 15 years, and this goes for men or women, and to look at what are the attributes, maybe the top 5 to 10 attributes of that person who made the biggest impact in your life, and begin to look for yourself at what, if any, of these attributes do you possess, and what, if anything, is missing that would prevent you or that is preventing you from being able to attain or be those things yourself.
Sure. Well, education is key. We should all always stay up on what's current as far as what we need within the company. Adding value to a company is key. And also showing how a company that you have added value and how you will add value to that company as well. Is, you know, again, we keep promoting, but we also have to keep educating ourselves. And you're right, there are people that you've seen who've been successful for key reasons, and it may be, again, their relationship building skills, or again, having the knack to know what needs to be done, and having the timing and having the skills to do that as well. But it's a constant education as far as finding the skills that you need within the job. And of course, you know, one of the things you can always ask, what are the things that you need? What is that? How can I add value to this company? What are some things that I can do to improve and to continue to do my job in a way that will help this company be more successful? And again, people are more than happy to tell you those things. So don't be shy. Go and ask. You know, take the superwoman shirt off. Women, we're very good at that. We believe somehow that we have to do it all ourselves, but we don't. We have lots of help out there, but we just have to be confident and comfortable going out and seeking out help as well and that support.
Yeah, and I think another aspect of it too is to shine the flashlight on the areas that you might be weak and the areas that you might be strong. Yeah. It's very present for me because I'm in the midst of doing my own team reviews for our team here. And one of the things that I end every review with every year is 6 questions that I was taught many years ago in a seminar I did. And those 6 questions are a great way to check in, and I will share them with you and see
Absolutely.
How you're perceived. And what it is what was your first impression of me when we met? Where have I surprised you? Where have I disappointed you? What can you count on me for? What can't you count on me for? And what is your impression of me now? And I use those often every year to check in and see what are my blind spots? What are the areas where I can grow my leadership capacity in? Because if you don't know it, you can't work on it.
No. In the book, we talk about constructive confrontation. And again, constructive confrontation is talking about job performance. But it's, again, you have to be open to conversations about how you can improve. I mean, we all have, you know, we have to have a little thicker skin. You know, and again, we can always do our job a little better, and there's always someone that can see things that we can't normally see. But it's that feedback is tremendous. And again, you have to, if you ask for it, you also have to be able to listen to it, to take it in, and to do something about it.
Absolutely. So what are some of the barriers, now that we're on that topic, that prevent women from reaching their leadership potential?
Well, I think we've been talking about confidence. You know, again, negotiating salaries, negotiating jobs. I mean, you have to be able to negotiate and understand that you're worth it. You have the value, you have the skills, but again, to negotiate and to position yourself for where you want to be within that company or getting that job or the job that will be the next step for the job that you want. But it's about positioning, it's about the confidence, and it's about understanding what you need to get that job as well. But again, that goes back to the getting past your fears and being confident to go forward.
So let's talk about this idea of getting past your fears. It sounds great in theory, but when the actual application of it comes up, I don't know about anybody tuning in out there. I've had the experience of just feeling absolutely thwarted and incapacitated by this fear or that fear. So how does one master getting past one's fears?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's even just talk about the honesty that we can share, you and me. Both about some of our fears. Let's face it, before we even began the show today, I was a little anxious. You probably were a little anxious also. We want to do a good job, but once we recognize that, once we get past some of the things that we're uncomfortable with, some of the things that we've done, and remember that where we've been successful and where we've accomplished the goal, even though we started out maybe anxious or a little fearful, we can move forward. I don't know about you, but I can think of many situations in my own career along the way. Public speaking has always been a great fear of many people. So you go out and you take a course in public speaking. You take something that can get you past that fear, but recognizing that it is a barrier and that you move past it. Let's face it. Once you get past a fear, the next time something comes up, you can remember that. That's kind of a marker for you. That's kind of a way to look at your past and past behavior and say, look, I got through that, and look where I am today. I'm accomplished in these areas, and I can do this also. So it's really a matter of keep challenging yourself. I mean, we do. I mean, let's face it, none of us are sedentary. We're constantly moving. We're constantly changing, and that nothing stays the same. And these people say, oh, I don't like change. Or people say, oh, I just love change. But as a psychologist, I can guarantee you after working with people individually, people do not like change. They're uncomfortable with it. But it's just a part of our lives. So getting used to those changes, being fluid and flexible is key for the success for many people in this lifetime.
I think that's a great point, is the fluidity. And another thing that I think can sometimes be an obstacle or a barrier to anybody, male or female, success, and particularly for women because of belonging and just the nature of what it's like to be a female in society versus a male, perhaps, is that the sense of belonging is so important that if you go back, thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, you have the hunters and the gatherers had to sit around and, help feed the families and take care. And though we've evolved, obviously, quite a bit, there's still that same mentality of if you don't feel like you belong, and if you're an outsider, then it can seem almost dangerous. And I know, being a woman leader myself, there have been many times in my life where I remember when I started my career, my colleagues would go out and have 2-hour lunches and have fun and frit their time and go to all these different things. And for me, that wasn't what I was committed to. I had to be kind of the odd man out and the odd duck and sit there and work through lunches and get things done and work on whatever my next project was, even though it didn't make me the most likable person or the person who felt like she belonged the most, but it got me to where I am today.
Sure. And you're using a term that's extremely important, not only belonging, but likability. And this is something that women especially have a difficulty with, is that not everybody's going to like you. and I think this is something, well, I'm serious, not everybody's going to like
Damn
you.
Damn it, Dr. Nancy, where were you when I was in my teens and early 20s?
I'm here now for you, don't worry. And again, I think that's important for women to understand. Not everyone's going to like you, and not everybody's going to like the decisions that you make. But if you're going to be a leader, that's part of the process. Any leader that's been successful can tell you, just like as you were explaining, along the way, there are people that will be naysayers, there are people that will try to take you out. I mean, I know working in my own career that people would say, well, what about your family? What about this? What about that? What about them? And I'd say, well, excuse me, I have these supports, I have that support. But it's almost as if sometimes the more we achieve, the more successful we become. Some people, especially some women, just really don't understand that. So I think the key also is to find like-minded women. There is a growing community of us, and we're growing like crazy. And this is why I'm involved with women's leadership, is because once we get together and we understand, and one of the questions that always comes up, why are women their own worst enemies? And I said, yes, they can be. Yes, some women definitely are their own worst enemies. Because again, some of the things that we believe that, yes, we've got to belong. Yes, we've got to be liked. No, not everybody's going to do that. No. So you find women also that are like-minded. And in women's leadership, we understand that. We understand that if you truly believe in what you believe and that you're passionate about it, and you see your goal and you know how to get to your goal and you know the steps and who you need to bring along with you, everything starts to make more sense. But there will be those along the way that will not applaud you, that will not give you their support. And, you know, that's just part of life. Not everybody's going to like you. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way.
So Dr. Nancy, tell me a little bit more about this idea of being likable. And, you know, I know it can be a huge detriment for us, right? You know, this idea of being likable and belonging. How does that play out in someone's success or failure as a leader?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the important thing is that likability sure helps you get through the door. I mean, let's face it, being pleasant, but, you know, being personable. But, you know, again, women are fantastic at building relationships. But again, sometimes what can happen to some women, is that this likability concern becomes too overwhelming to what other people think. And again, it's hard to do your job if you're constantly worrying if people are measuring you, comparing you, and wondering if you're doing a good, and you're wondering if you're doing a good job or not. The important thing is that confidence. We go back to the whole issue of confidence. Leadership is confidence. Leadership is believing and being passionate about what you believe your job is, how you do the job, and who you bring in to help you to do that job. And so likability is something that can get in the way. I mean, again, not everybody's going to like you. I mean, we've already talked about that. You know, there are going to be those people that are naysayer. You're going to run into people that are not going to agree with you, but that's just life. That's just the way life is. Not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to like what you have to say and what you do.
Yeah, and I think that's part of being a leader, be it a man or a woman, is not letting pleasing get in the way. Are there other biases or things that you think or barriers that could prevent somebody from being a successful leader, particularly women?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things, and we talk about in the book in this together, is the biases that women have towards themselves and other women. And I think sometimes if we can and check out our biases towards ourselves, is that as a woman I'm supposed to be XYZ, and therefore other women have to be XYZ. But oftentimes our own biases prevent us from, again, are women better leaders than men? Are men better leaders than women? I mean, men have to check out their biases. Women, we have to check out our biases too. Once we become aware of them, then we can do something about that. A lot more companies are doing sit downs about that, talking about men and women working together and how their biases towards themselves and others really prevent them from being successful and being effective in their jobs. But again, they can get in the way. But again, the more we become aware and we understand how they're impacting us, then we can do something about it. You know, again, the whole issue is, you know, would you rather work for a man or would you rather work for a woman? Well, you know, I mean, I would rather work for the person who's best at that job, and that I can work with, and that we can both be successful and meet the goals and objectives of the company. That's who I want to work for.
Well, I think it's an interesting trap that we fall into, is that based on our familial situation, culturally, where we're brought up, you have different perspectives about one thing A or person A being better or worse than thing B. And when we go in with a certain perspective, it really does color the way the person occurs. And I think that sometimes, I mean, look at the movies, Devil Wears Prada, et cetera. You get these, you know, powerhouse women. And I know when I was a very young woman starting off in business, I had no role models. I didn't have a role model of what it was like to have a healthy female boss who could be loving and compassionate and yet firm and strong. And so I think sometimes the media and other things can put it out there that you have to be a ball buster if you're going to get to the top as a woman. And I don't think that's true. And I think that the more we break down these myths and these barriers, and that, like you said, we identify them, then we can start to circumvent them or overcome them entirely and to create new models that allow women to be successful.
Yeah. I think the exciting thing that what is happening as far as women's leadership, and again, these are like-minded women that I spend a lot of time with and building this community of like-minded women is understanding that, you know, we do have certain skills and abilities and talents, and that we can build upon those. But we also have to understand the stereotypical thinking that goes on in our society, and that we have to begin as early as possible for boys and girls, and what they read, what they see, what they hear, that creates that parity, that equal gender parity. Looking through that gender lens is to understand that we are all unique and different, but we are also very similar in many, many ways. In fact, they're doing more and more research that shows men and women are really not that different in so many ways. But I think sometimes we put men in this category and women in that category, and somehow something in the middle, we're not sure exactly what goes on. But again, I think, again, the keys to leadership and being successful come down to the relationship building skills and the communication, and again, finding the tools and the resources necessary and helpful towards getting the job done in a unison factor. And again, that equal gender parity is so extremely important, that we all are in this together and we all work together to get to meet the goals and objectives of the corporation.
So what's one takeaway that women could have who are tuning in today, or men for that matter, that we didn't get a chance to cover in today's show, or that you think might be important for people to remember as they walk away from today's episode?
Yeah. Well, I think, again, the most important thing is you're not alone. The job that you're doing today and the job that you will do tomorrow, there are many, many people in your company that are there to assist you. But you have to ask for help. And again, I was talking about the superwoman t-shirt. Take it off and ask for help. Not only give help, but ask for help. And that's true of men, and that's true for women as well, is that we have to ask for what we need, what we want. And we have to get uncomfortable. Sometimes we have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah, and I think you raised a really good point that even before we get to the point of asking for what you need, I think something to identify and to work on as men or as women is to first figure out, what do we need? I have a reminder that pulls up on my calendar every day that my business coach taught me years ago that says, mm-hmm. what do I need today? And if you're not aware of what you need, whether it's sleep, food, time to meditate, good time with friends, you're never going to be able to communicate effectively to other people what you need if you're not aware of it first.
Yeah. Well, the most important point you just made, and again, I'll share that one as well, is that you have to take care of yourself. You're not going to, as you said, you're not going to be able to do a good job unless you're eating properly, getting the sleep that you need, and have the resources that you need to do the job. So really, the job starts with you, no matter what. When you wake up in the morning, get all the bells and whistles going, and you know, pop yourself up, give yourself a good pep talk in the mirror, and make sure you have a good breakfast and get ready for the day.
Exactly. All day, every day. Well, Dr. Manzi, please tell our listeners where they can find more information on your book or the work that you're doing, or perhaps if they want to hire you as a speaker or look into your philanthropy.
Well, it's very simple. It's just Dr. Nancy O'Reilly, DrNancy O'Reilly, capital REILLY, DrNancyO'Reilly.com. The book is available now. It's now available in all the stores. It was on Amazon only till January. Well, tomorrow, all the hardcover books are available. You could buy them today on Amazon, but tomorrow they should be available in all the different bookstores. And we would love for you to read the book. Let us know what you think. And again, this is about growing a community of men and women who support one another, and we're all in this together. And I think that's the most important thing I can end with, is that nobody gets anywhere alone in this lifetime. So it's all of us in this together. And so I'm looking forward to a wonderful 2019, and I think it's going to be a year full of opportunities and possibilities. And Jennifer, it's just been delightful being on the show, and it's a wonderful world if we let it be, and there's some great resources out there, and we can build lots and lots of bridges and pathways in the journey. And you know, as they say, the right people will show up on your path when you're ready, and there are always people there to help you along the way.
Exactly. And I think that's a great piece to end on, is just knowing that the world is for us and not against us. One of my mentors once said that there are two types of people, people who go out in the world and think that people are out to get you, and people who go out in the world and think that the world is for my good. And so if there's one thing we could all take away from today, is just look for the ways that the world and the people around you are out there to support you, and to embrace that support and utilize it to the best of your ability.
Amen. Amen, sister. I believe that for sure. Amen.
Well, it's been such a delight to have you on the show today, Dr. Nancy. And thank you so much to everybody who tuned in today. And for the technical glitch earlier, thank you for those of you who were patient with us during that technical glitch. You will be able to find the full show after the show on LATalkRadio.com's website on the Get Yourself the Job page. At the bottom of that page is the archive section where you can find this and all prior episodes available for download. Or if you're more of an iTunes person, you can definitely hop on iTunes, and the show will be available for download later in the week under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. As always, we invite you to listen at your leisure, tune in, subscribe, rate us. Any feedback you offer is always appreciated. And wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your first week and a half of the new year.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.